Today on The Voices of Legacy, with yours truly, Pastor Carl on WGTE Public Media, we're honored to welcome a dynamic and powerful group of voices who have been making an impact through music ministry and the message. Miss Nikki D and the Browns, otherwise known as the Sisters of Thunder. Known for their electrifying presence and soul-stirring harmonies and unwavering commitment to uplifting communities through faith and song. The Sisters of Thunder have become a beacon of encouragement and empowerment. Their voices don't just entertain, they inspire, heal, and bring people together of all cultures, races, and backgrounds. Miss Nikki D and the Browns represent more than music. They represent legacy in motion as a new generation of the same family, bringing song and fellowship and faith together, and even beyond that. Through their journey, they've reminded us of purpose, passion, and presence. Miss Nikki D.
Wow.
In the building today, I am so honored and thankful for you being here. Tell us more about yourself.
Wow. First of all, thank you so much for having us.
You like that intro,
don't you? I do. I love it. I need to take it everywhere I go. That was amazing and so inspiring. And to let me know that, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. So I'm Nikki D of the Browns family-based group, and I'm excited to be here. Been doing music. Well, my family was doing music even before I was born. Mm-hmm. So I was born into this music, you know, gospel music. So I'm so thankful to continue going within the last 20 years. I've been in the lead position as Nikki D and the Browns. So, for years, we were the Brown Family Singers mm-hmm. here in Toledo. So I'm just grateful. Now,
you sung as a child, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was went straight from the bottle to the microphone.
Wow.
Straight from the crib to the church.
You think you'd be leading the group at this point?
No, I did not. I was a very... like in public, I was a very bashful kid, you know, introvert.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Facts.
You were what?
Introvert.
No.
I was quiet. I mean, even all through junior high school. I mean, but with my family, okay, I was a whole different, you know, at home, mm-hmm. it was different, you know.
Yeah.
We watching, like I say, the public television, watching Sesame Street. We grooving mm-hmm. with Big Bird, you know, when we was younger. But out with other people, yeah. In high school, I graduated with at Macomber Whitney, and a lot of my classmates.
So you're a Toledoan?
I'm a Toledoan, yeah.
All right.
Born and raised right here.
Awesome.
In Tootledo.
All right. So it sounds like you had the Michael Jackson treatment. You were a little shy behind the scenes. But
right.
When you get on stage...
That's not like me.
Oh.
Yes. But as like I said, once I got out of high school, mm-hmm. I started kind of getting more into, you know, what music meant to me. You know, we grew up listening to like the Soulsters, mm-hmm. Dixie Hummingbirds, you know, very traditional gospel. And then when I started buying my own music at Sound Asylum on Moreau Street, remember Sound Asylum?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes. And then I gravitated into like the Winans, the mm-hmm. The Clark Sisters, the, you know, Witness. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when I kind of got a little more confident.
Isn't it somehow, folks, we used to get in trouble for listening to Rance Allen and the and Commission. Well, Commission was much later on, but the Clark Sisters. It's something how gospel has changed over the years,
hasn't
it?
Oh, it has changed. Yeah. Now, that's funny because we didn't get in trouble for listening to the contemporary gospel. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we couldn't get in trouble because they didn't know we was listening. I kept it in my room, Kevin. Yeah, kept it on the hush hush, right? Yeah. Now we couldn't. Yeah, we couldn't listen to no secular. I mean, if we did, we were sneaking with that too. You know,
the devil music.
Oh yeah,
not the devil, the
devil, and everything was classified in my family with rock and roll. It was like, don't be singing that rock and roll. You know,
yes,
yes, right.
You started at a young age in music as a family. Who was the lead of your family music ministry back then?
Yeah, when it was it was our whole family. It was my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad. They called him the James Brown of gospel.
Oh.
He had the look, the hair, the suit, the charisma.
Did daddy have a perm?
Oh, yes. Oh, did the process. He had the hair, like I said, the hair, the suit. Mm-hmm. He knew how to take the mic stand and pop it down and pop it back up. So, and my mom was very, they used to call her like the Kirk Franklin. She was like the first Kirk Franklin. She would narrate the song and we would sing.
Oh, wow.
So me, myself, I had, my examples was my parents. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about.
Which they were ministers too.
Yes. Yeah. My mother was a missionary mm-hmm. and my dad was a minister. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so then as we got older, my mm-hmm. older sister, she started taking more of the lead singing, lead songs that we would sing. And so I was just the background, sometimes playing the tambourine mm-hmm. before I started playing the guitar. So uh-huh. yeah, that was the whole origin of things for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who else do we have in studio with us today?
Well, I have my sister Gloria, which is, like I said, founding member. She's the manager.
All right.
Yep. It's guitar player, songwriter. She is our songwriter. She uh-huh. is the composer. She is the man. It's some songs she have written that we yet have to get out. And mm-hmm. so, and also got my cousin Tamika here. She's our music director. And also the bass player with
awesome.
The band.
Awesome.
Yes.
What do you all have to say about the group?
I'm Gloria, and I just want to say, like I say, I grew up in the group, which is like my family. Continued it for now. We're Nikki D and the Sisters of Thunder, mm-hmm. and so now added to the group is. Family, which is the sisters, it's the cousins, mm-hmm. and it's my nephews,
yeah.
and so that's how we come together.
There's some boys in the band?
Yes. We are the Thunder. We say that. Well. The girls are the singers.
See, we focus, whenever I see you guys, I focus on just y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't pay attention. I'm just being honest.
Right.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, for years we were all female band. Mm-hmm. Uh huh. My sister Lynette, that's passed on. She was the original drummer. So when it was our parents, mm-hmm. they had the the band.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. How has that affected you? Because it's been a few years now.
Yes, it has been a few years.
Not many, but still. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It's been because even before she passed, she mm-hmm. hadn't been as active mm-hmm. in the group. Because of health challenges, but yeah. she was very active as far as, she would check in, am I on this gig mm-hmm. or do I, and so a lot of, especially my energy, my my moves, just the almost like the comedian that I am, yeah. I learned from my sister, because she was, I was bashful, but she wasn't. So
you're bashful, but you're a comedian.
I learned from that Lynette would get stuff going.
Yes,
and so I thought about it, years later. I saw different things and learned from her and my parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the being charismatic, being boisterous, mm-hmm. but that came years later.
So for those that aren't familiar with who you are, because mm-hmm. of course I'm familiar,
okay.
Where have you performed?
Oh, yeah. So, we've performed in our churches in all our lives, but mm-hmm. we've been blessed to be able to do more in our city, in mm-hmm. our community. Party in the Park that's mm-hmm. starting up. We've been able to sing there, Village Idiot, mm-hmm. and we've been able to travel overseas. We've been to Lugano, Switzerland.
Wow.
We've been to Vancouver, Canada, mm-hmm. as Nikki D. and the Sisters of Thunder mm-hmm. band. So and
more.
Yes. Yeah, and more. We've collaborated and been over in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I never really thought that the style of music and the mm-hmm. style, really gospel music
yeah.
that we sing and play would take us places that we didn't know, I didn't know appreciate the music mm-hmm. or even existed. I never heard mm-hmm. of a Mambia India until I got there. I never when you think of France, you only think of Paris as mm-hmm. La Rochelle and Abbeville, so places I've been able to go.
How was that experience with you all?
Oh my goodness. Tamika, you got to take that one about that Swiss. We were so excited.
Yeah, it's been great. The journey of it, like you say, you never imagine going to those places until you experience the different cultures.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just an experience. I tell anybody, you want to do something and go and do some adventures, go to Australia, go to Switzerland, because the people, they were great. They treated us like we was the next Beyonce and Jay-Z. It was just so fun, and just to get people, not so much of catering to you, but they just love the music, and it's like, what do you need? And y'all need this, and we got this. And so they even fed us every day, all day, just taking us from stage to stage.
Sounds and like you're having some flashbacks.
Yes,
sir. And one thing was when we went to Australia, we did a collab, and this girl gave each one of us our own tray of fruit. I really thought we were some celebrity. They're like, oh my God, this is what for me? I'm like, okay, we just taking it in Shannon. She was like, no, each one of y'all get what you want. So it's just been a great journey to experience with family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think because, too, our level of appreciation is so heavy, because we do this because the Bible speaks of it being our reasonable service.
Yes.
And then sometimes because people, oh, that's just Nikki or that's just the Browns, we're received differently. It's not that we're not received, but to not have to say, come on and clap your hands. Mm-hmm. People are already clapping because they appreciate this gospel music. And and a lot of them said they don't hear that traditional gospel on a regular. Mm-hmm. So when we go, and I have my notes ready. You know, we're a gospel group. We don't sing nothing but gospel. And they was like, that's what we want. We want gospel, you know, glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, as traditional.
But you've experienced the crossover as well.
Yes, we have.
And maintaining that foundation, it's amazing.
Oh, bless you.
The doors that will open for you. And with the steel guitar. you know that's near and dear to my heart with my Uncle James. Tell us about that.
Wow. So like I said, we've always been singers. We sung a cappella, and we would sing at local churches here in Toledo. Yeah. And we went to this church, and I was looking like, oh, what is this instrument? You know, they were playing the service and everything. And so then we went to another service, you know, later on, saw this instrument. I told my dad, I said, listen, I want this. And the church was Soul City House of God.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it was Soul City House of God. Years later, we ended up joining. Mm-hmm. And so once we joined, my dad was excited about that I had an interest, you know, in this instrument. And so that's how I got my start. I was 8 when I first noticed the guitar, because the House of God, Church of Living God, that's the origin of our church service.
Yes,
steel guitar. So, I started playing. Now, mind you, I'm an 8-year-old that think I can do anything but fail, because my parents taught me that. Yeah. Get the guitar and I don't sound like what I heard. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this ain't it. But no, but I had to keep practicing.
How long did it take you to get a hold to it?
Honestly, this is the honest. It took me about 10 years. I didn't get good to myself, to my ears. Like, I was,
you know, you're not good in the church unless you can make it talk.
Right. There you go. That is.
You know, I know.
Yes, you know. And so I just couldn't get my. You know, I had different teachers. I had, you know, to myself.
Now, who taught you?
Okay, so I did go to Durdale's. Do you remember Durdale's?
Mm, I do.
Yeah, so Ruth Durdale was my first teacher. She was my first, but it was a different style, country music. Yes. And so sacred still is different. And so that was my first teacher. The church, like I said, we were at Soul City, Yo-Yo, well, that's his nickname, Yo-Yo Ramsey. Mm-hmm. He was like one of the ones. And then Dale Grace.
Something like a cousin.
Yeah. So the Grace family, our families intertwined and you know, come together. We would have, you know, jam sessions and just kind of play out, and then I just kept, you know, practicing, and then I would play in church service. So, got a little more comfortable with it.
As you learn the steel guitar, which a lot of people call the Hawaiian guitar,
correct?
When did it really click with you? When you usually, and I'll say this, you know, my Uncle Greg, who's an organist who passed on Bishop, he explained that when he saw people moving, he really realized the power. Beyond what his father, my grandfather, did in preaching that he had, and was verified by my grandfather, you know, you play the service, you really moving the people almost as much, if not more, than the preacher.
Wow. Yes.
So when did you get that epiphany?
Right. I'm still this bashful young adult. Uh-huh. And so I do remember playing in...
Teenager?
No, I was in my 20s. I still wasn't good at teenager. Okay. Yeah. I didn't... And then I was young. I didn't really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really... I wanted to play, but not really, you know... Mm-hmm. I enjoyed church. I did. I enjoyed church service. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the instrument when others played it, but it's like I didn't gravitate to that sound. And then I was 18 when my dad passed, so he never saw the greatness of me really playing, but I mm-hmm. remember, you know, like really wanting to get it together. You know, you really want to play. But I remember church service and I had on yellow. I remember it. I had micro twists in my hair. I was all right, cute. Man. And I was playing and it felt good to me, and you know, moving in the service and the spirit, you know, it's like the service was high, and so it's like that what really made me want to continue, because I felt that was kind of like the first time I really felt I was just playing to be playing, but then I felt it, and then as far as to incorporate with our group, I saw a band that was in Virginia, and they was playing. They called the Lee Boys, and they were playing all this gospel in this club. They invited us, you know. And I said, I think we can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I done got good. I think we could. Yeah, so you wanted to bring that experience everywhere we went, what I experienced.
So you were
church.
In your 20s.
Yeah.
By the time you hit the steel guitar on the stage with the group.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
How did everybody else accept it? Was everybody else cool with you?
Yeah. Yes, because it's always been a part of, like I said, to this day, the church we're at, it's the steel guitar. It's very familiar. So we, you know, so to bring that into the group, I was like, we always had it, but it never was like the lead instrument. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. How does it make you feel? I know this is way off the subject.
No,
this is Toledo
good.
Stuff for people that are listening all over the place. Get to Toledo, Ohio.
Yes.
to drive by Soul City now and see what it's become.
Yeah, it's a little disheartening.
I'll always see it as the same thing.
Oh, yes.
Because my barber was right across the street from it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember the barber. Yeah. Because it was a church for some years after it. But, you know, that's where my start. That's where I got all my teaching, learning, even, you know, my lineage is from there. So, yeah, you know, it's been different things, but it'll always be Detroit and Door. That's always.
Yes. And now you can get fish and chicken.
Right.
Oh, Lord have mercy. It's just strange. I don't know. I guess I'm aging myself now.
No, it is. Yeah, but, for me as well.
With the foundation that you have, you're keeping traditions going that I think not only the community needs, but as you expand, as God is expanding your territory.
Thank you. Yes.
All over the world, taking that gospel in a way that's entertaining. And I know some people have an issue with entertainment and gospel, but if message is there and it's not been a message that's been watered down.
Right,
which,
right.
So far, I'll put you on Front Street.
Don't come on with me.
It has not been. Man, people are worshiping. They don't even know they're doing it.
Don't know they're doing it. We just had an engagement, and the lady said, in the middle of our set, I want to come to your church. I mean, she just screamed it up.
Yes.
And I gave the address, 3220 Meadowbrook. And then afterwards, they said, if church was like this, some say they would go, some said, and really come. We've had a real good friend of ours, followed us for years, and he joined. He joined our church. You know, he's a musician and stuff, but we try to give, like you said, inspiration. We try to impact lives and just give them hope. And with music, it's ministry, it's artistry, and it's the industry. So you have to keep that in mind. And my parents taught us that ministry is before, during, and after every performance.
And so, it is business. It's all things being done decently and in
order. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's the way we should be doing
it. That's exactly right. So,
and that's the definition of business. There's no separation. Go ahead.
One thing I would like to add is when we went to Switzerland, and we're performing out there. We're at the festival and everything that they had there. And they specifically picked a Saturday to set up in the park for Bible study.
Oh, man.
They wanted us to teach what makes us happy, what gives us the joy, what God keeps you going. And we was like, it's all God.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we want to learn that. So when they set us up and we're reading the scripture and then we're starting to sing, well, they had an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever didn't understand it in English,
wow,
they gave it to them.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what it's all
We're gonna
about.
Get something started in here.
I know, right? And I've been questioned. Yes. I've been questioned. You know, I was told recently that that we're confusing people because we're singing in clubs and bars. So I did say to this person, I said, "Well, it's evident you haven't come in because you when you hear, I mean, we're singing all gospel. We do sing some inspiration. We do sing." Like with Stevie Wonder, Higher Ground, we do sing Change Gonna Come. But we're singing, you know, inspiration. And we're real because we're body, soul, and spirit. We speak of, my sister have a verse in a song that talks about divorce, you know. But we talk about how God's strengthening, you know. And so we always want to make sure we minister. We don't want to be confusing, but it said to go out to the hedges and highways and compel men to Christ. Yeah. So that's what we're
therefore,
trying to do. Yes.
Into where?
Yes.
Listen,
some of it.
No, nations. Yeah.
Be scared?
No.
Yes. All the world. When we proclaim that, we're really showing the love of God and sharing the message.
Yes.
And doing it in a way that's relatable to people.
Relatable.
That's what we want to do. Not be the stereotype.
Exactly.
Dead.
Wow.
You know, judgmental. Y'all going to you know where? No. That's a caricature of what faith is. Faith isn't that. Mm. And that's why I'm so thankful for what it is that you do, because it touches people where they are in the nightclub. I'll tell you why I say that real quick. There was something called the CIAA in Charlotte. I'm from Toledo, as y'all know, but I spent most of my life down south. And the CIAA is the Black College Basketball Tournament every year. And I was at a nightclub back when I was back in promotion. I do my little moonwalk backsliding days. Party promotions, nightclubs. And my friend Fantasia, y'all know
her. Yeah, you call her Tasia.
She was doing her set.
Uh-huh.
And this was before she was known for doing the preaching.
Got you.
And it turned into a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that were there with the, you know, their solos, the red cup.
The red cup.
And therefore the party got a sermon
Ooh.
That they weren't expecting.
Yes.
And it just moved me. When we can go into those places with the message of the testimony of where we've been brought from and what we've been through and touch those people that aren't expecting it.
Right.
That's what's needed.
Oh, my goodness. So needed. And you don't realize it until, like, you know, afterward. I mean, all ages, young people have come up to us and, you know, even if they don't, you know, do the music, you know, it inspires them to write a book, you know, whatever they started to do a business. It's like, but get the message of what God can do, you know, with your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And tell me what God can't do.
Oh, that's right. He can't do nothing. Nothing but faith.
Oh, my goodness. And that leads to the next question. How do you think your music has impacted generations? Do you have original music as well as the cover songs?
Yes. Yeah, we do have original music. And sometimes that's been kind of the hardest thing when you go to places like you said, secular venues. Mm-hmm. They're looking for what they're familiar of hearing. Mm-hmm. So as original band, sometimes it's a little... I think for me the response, because I'm that kind of person, because I'm churchy. So we do have a majority is original. We're an original band. And then we throw covers in so we can warm them up. You know, come on in. You know, yes. But and that's, like I said, Gloria is the main writer of our group.
So what would you advise somebody that's interested in doing anything even remotely close to what you all do?
Wow. I'm going to say this. Don't wait. I do feel that I could have gotten better sooner. I just put off. Whatever, you know, your heart's desire to do it. Because the Bible speaks of that. You know, don't put off today for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just really do it. Do it wrong. Do it in fear. You're going to get better and you're going to, you know, get fearless. So just really do it. Mm-hmm. That would be my thing. And don't wait.
In specific to young women that may be called to music ministry,
yes,
what would you say to them?
To anybody, I don't want to take over. Because Tamika, she's multi-talented. She plays bass, violin, drums. She was our original drummer. So Tamika, for female musicians, what would you say?
Just to echo my cousin, like she said, whatever you put your mind to, go forth and do it. Because we do get people to females, and I wanted to play bass. To this day, it's like two people. I don't give bass lessons, but they come to me every time like, hey, when you gonna call me and get with me? And so I just tell them all the time, hey, you want to play it, pull it out and just work on it and do what you do. Everything don't always have to be taught.
Yes.
If you just go ahead and do what you feel that That's God so has placed in you, go for it. And so I would tell any young woman, boys, girls, anybody, you know, whatever you put your mind to it, sometimes it do get a little frustrating because, you know, it's like, oh, I want to be this, I want to do. But when you be your own self and do what God has placed in you to do.
And don't run from it.
Don't run from it.
I got prophesied on back at Palmwood, where I was born.
Okay.
I think there's, what's that, Martin Luther King Elementary is over there now. And, man, I ran from that my whole life. And I thought I was going to be in business because my dad was a businessman. He was the only non-preacher in our family. But what you said, man, get a hold of somebody that's doing what you're doing. Mentorship is big. Have you mentored some young people in what you're doing?
Yes, because like with the guitar and even with the singing, a lot of times I wouldn't say I have a person under me like I've taught, but just recently a young man that lives in Marion, you know, and I was given a guitar. Marion,
Ohio.
Yeah. I was given a guitar some years ago, and the guy told me, he said, you're going to know who to give it to. He said, you're going to know. He said, it's for a young person, but you're going to know who to give it to. That's been about a couple of years. And when I saw the young man, he's very talented. He plays keys, guitar. He was so fascinated with the guitar. So I end up going back the next week and gave him the guitar, and he was so excited about it. And so there have been different ones, even adults that I've mentored in a way. And then we just recently did the Big Brothers, Big Sisters. It was like a battle of the bands, but it was just so great to have that connection. And they matched us up with like Big Brother, Big Sister. And it was like, I really want to do more of that, mentoring and educating from the quartet music side and the steel guitar side.
Your association with the Quartet Association. Are you guys a quartet?
Yes, we are. Now, that's where we are original. The Nikki D and the Browns, that's the quartet group.
All right.
The Sisters of Thunder is the Sacred Steel Band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we born and raised in the quartet world.
Yeah, our parents... our dad was original Pilgrim Wonders.
Oh, wow.
Here in Toledo.
Well, I think I know who
a
that is.
Singer, yep. And then my mother is from original Queen of Harmonies. You heard of that?
Well, I guess we do know each other a little bit better than what I
thought.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So do you have any upcoming events in the near future?
Yes, we're hoping and praying that we'll be on tour. We're going to be on a 3-month tour because we've been blessed to be with a booking agency now that's in the Great Lakes area. So some of them is close. We'll be in Detroit for the Concert of Colors. We'll be back in Canada, New Albany, Canada. And then we're going to be at this one festival, Ottawa Fest. And one of the headliners is Gwen Stefani.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're going to be on the same stage as her. So, yeah.
She's
so
pretty soulful.
Yeah. They're going to have Limp Bizkit and Cypress Hill. It's a 1-week festival.
There. And Nikki D.
Yeah.
And the Bruns.
It's going to be on there. Shaking the Devil Off. That's the one song we do. Shake the Devil Off.
Lord.
Yeah.
Lord.
And then War and Treaty, we're going to be with them. And we're going to do a workshop with
now,
them.
Now, Limp Bizkit and Gwen Stefani catch the whole ago.
I'm gonna give it to him. See, Reverend Ron gonna be there too. So Reverend Ron is on the bill. So we are so thankful and excited for what God is doing in our lives and what's to come.
Wow. So how can people follow you and keep up with you?
Yes, now we are on Facebook under Nikki D and the Browns, and then also known as Sisters of Thunder. And we're on Instagram under the Sisters of Thunder. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well,
so that's the best way to get a hold of you and anything that you're doing and all the events that you just mentioned.
Right. Yep. Exactly. All the events. We're working on our website. We're working on even releasing music, even though we've done music for years.
Hold on. Let me move my headphones. You're working on what?
Releasing music.
Now, all the stuff we just got finished
talking about. This going into the edits, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so we do have a project under Nikki D and the Browns. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to
that you can find now.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. But that's some time ago.
Yeah, okay. And it's a couple of singles. We did a couple of singles with the holiday for mm-hmm. "Oh Come All You Faithful," and then we did we call an Easter song.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a Christmas album?
Well, just a single.
Christmas single. Yes. Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Uh huh. So we're trying to release the whole album of the Sisters of Thunder.
Well, this is my request.
All right, give it to me.
Please, please get yourself a live recording done.
Yes.
So that we can go ahead. And
yes, right. What you do. Right. Oh, okay. My God. Yes.
And maybe even a book. This sounds like a book in all of what we're talking about.
Right.
And next thing you know, we'll see you on BET.
Come on, speak. Speak. Your servant here. Speak, well, Lord. I receive it. I'm going to go forth.
Oh, man. So the question of the hour as we get ready to close.
Okay, yes.
And I promise you, we're getting ready to close. I'm not Baptist. No offense to anybody. y'all get that tomorrow. Anyway, what do you think, with all that we talked about, your legacy is? All three of you that are here. And what would you like for it to be?
Wow. Oh, wow. I would say our legacy is moving in faith and in strength and in your gift, being aware of your gift, your purpose, and stand on it and really, you know, go forth. Don't let no one stop you. Mm. Like I said, the lineage and our parents and, you know, grandparents was always that, because I know they went through a lot, you know, in times of, you know, so much racism, even sexism, even being a female. So I would say my legacy would be just be purposeful and stand on it and don't waver, and you know, waver in your faith, in your calling, and in your gift.
Amen.
Yes.
Anybody else? No. you're looking like, oh, I ain't gonna say nothing.
But I thank God for my older siblings being those examples. They have really been.
Hey, you're not the oldest?
No, the youngest. She's the youngest. She's
okay. Now it all makes sense.
Oh, what that means? The baby. The baby. Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. And that really lends itself to something. I know we're really done. That you all don't focus on race or culture, because all of what we're talking about kind of supersedes that. Y'all got the Prince Michael Jackson going on for real in gospel music, because everybody loves you. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's a blessing. Yeah.
A blessing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is really something. And we're so thankful for it, because it's like I said, growing up, we never thought that, you know, it would be. I mean, music has taken us places that are regular jobs. I did hair for 30 years, and I was right in that salon. Yeah. But it's like, and then to see the response of the people. Oh, it's everything.
Well, God is not a respecter of persons.
He is not, and I thank God for that.
Yes, yes. Well, we thank you for coming by the Voices of Legacy and sharing your story. Oh. And it sounds like we got to have you back after you get that album recorded.
Right. Yes, thank you. Yes. Thanks for having us. Yes, we appreciate it so much.
Did any of you have any closing words for our guests that are listening right now all over the world?
I just want you to know, all over the world, to just tune in to this awesome podcast and share it with others. And I'm thankful to be able to share my story, to be able to voice what I've been through and with the music. And I appreciate you so much.
Yes,
so God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Remember to be kind to someone.
Place for you and me. I knew like God Almighty, like God has love for you. That's why I need the Lord to look up to the Lord and say, I can't live, can't live, I can't live, can't live. Live without you, no, no, live without you. Ooh, I've searched the world over, but I found true love. Can't nobody love me like the Lord. I can't live, can't live.
Listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.